Well, if you heard the title of tonight's topic, you may be thinking, this doesn't apply to me. It'd be nice if it doesn't apply to you, since Mike said we're going to be talking about how to leave the church. But there is a second part of that also. It's how to leave the church and or how to interact with those who are leaving a local church. So it's very applicable, assuming that what's implied in that is how to leave a church in a biblical manner and how to interact with those who are leaving a church, a local church, to facilitate that which is biblical. I'm not going to get into why one may or may not leave a church. That's a huge topic in and of itself. But just in terms of leaving a local church. So even if you're not, and I hope you're not, thinking about leaving this church, you may at some point, or you may move and be at another church and have to leave for a reason other than moving, or you're going to know someone, or someone is going to leave this church. How does one do that in a biblical, Christ-honoring way, in a way that is good? So again, even if you're not contemplating leaving the church, specifically a local church and going to another, this is going to be applicable. Now, having said that, and having used the terms biblical and Christ-honoring, I have to say up front that there's no passage we're going to go to that's going to say, okay, when you leave said local church, here's how you do it. It just didn't happen back then. When the New Testament was written, there was a church in town, and that was it. And it was usually under persecution. So we're going to have to look at this indirectly versus directly. There's no passage that directly tells us how to do this. So you have to look at it, the passages that are there, and do they give us some principles that indirectly guide us in how to do this? And so I need to look at those passages at first to understand where I'm getting it from, since it's indirect. And the first passage I want to look at is in Acts chapter 20. So if you're still there from when Kellen read in Acts chapter 16, you're one step ahead. Otherwise, turn to Acts chapter 20. I'm going to briefly look at four different New Testament passages that set some groundwork, some principles for us about an issue that's very direct. And from that, we can understand this question that we're addressing tonight that's not directly addressed. So indirect principles here. So Acts chapter 20, start out in verse 17 so we understand the context. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem where he'll end up being arrested. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 20 says, "Now, from Miletus, he being Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." Now jump all the way down to verse 28. Paul's now meeting with the elders from Ephesus. Elders of the church of Ephesus have come to him in Miletus to meet with him. And he says this to them. This is his charge to them. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What we see here in this passage is that elders are charged with oversight of the church. Look back in verse 28. Paul speaking to the elders, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, ones who oversee, to care for." So as overseers, what they do is they care for. Another way to translate the verb behind to care for is shepherd. Same word you get sheep from, or flock, in this passage. So, elders are charged with shepherding God's flock, the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So that passage, one principle you see there is that elders are the responsible one as overseers to care for or shepherd the church. Now turn to Titus, chapter 1. It's after Timothy's. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, right before Hebrews. Right before Hebrews and Philemon. Titus chapter 1, one verse, verse 5. This is what happens when you do a topical. Not that I didn't go to a bunch of verses this morning also. But Titus, this is a letter written by Paul to Titus. And he says in verse 5, "This is why I left you in Crete. I don't like you, and I didn't want you traveling with me anymore." No. Get a purpose. "So that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." What you see from this passage is that elders are required, not optional. It's not that you don't have a church if you don't have elders, but the order is not complete. The loose ends aren't tied up. The gospel may have been preached in the towns of Crete, and there are now believers are there. Therefore, you have local churches. Paul leaves Titus there to appoint elders in every town, that he might put what remained in order. So, elders aren't an option. Maybe we use elders, maybe we won't use elders. Biblically speaking, elders are what is prescribed, dictated, commanded in Scripture. Now jump to 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 1. Peter writing says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God." Same thing Paul said. Paul, it's translated in the ESV, "care for," but it's the same word behind it. Peter's saying the same thing Paul said to elders. "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." The point here, the new point here, because it's the same kind of exhortation that Paul gives, but the new point here is that you see that shepherds shepherd for Christ, the shepherd. Christ is the head of his church. He is the chief shepherd. It makes elders under shepherds, caring for what belongs to Christ. Now that's implicit in what Paul says in Acts, to care for the flock of God, which he has made you overseers by the church bought by his blood. It's implicit there, but it's explicit here. Elders shepherd for Christ, the shepherd. What's implicit there is that they're going to answer to the shepherd for how they shepherd. That is explicit. Now back up a little bit to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17, chapter 13, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Now you may ask, why isn't the word elders used here? Well, actually, your leaders, we read that in English and we see a noun. But it's actually a participle. If I'm losing anyone, sorry. It goes like this. Obey those who are leading. It's not that they have a different model here that excludes elders. That's not the point here. The point here is to obey those who are leading. Biblically speaking, who would that be? Most certainly elders. That's not the point, though. The point here, and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. It's explicit there, what's implicit in Peter's passage. Because they're shepherding for the chief shepherd, they must answer to the chief shepherd for how they shepherd the flock. They give account for souls. Anyone who is quick to want to be an elder needs to dwell upon that passage. It has been a source of turning and tossing at nights for myself. It is a huge weight, but the shepherds don't carry the weight. It is the Holy Spirit who makes them elders, and it is a work of God through them. And yet, they will give account. So we see here in Scripture, looked at four passages. Elders from Acts 20, which is also repeated in 1 Peter 5, they're the ones who are to shepherd the flock, the church of God, Christ's people. They're the ones given that responsibility. They are necessary, not optional. Titus 1:5. They shepherd in Christ's stead, in Christ's place. 1 Peter chapter 5. And they give account for the souls that they are shepherding. These passages are all about elders. Well, Acts is about obeying them. Very direct teaching on what's here. Doesn't tell one how to leave a local church. But understanding that biblical structure guides us in knowing how then to leave a church with a clear conscience in a biblical manner. Regardless of your reason. Yes, regardless of your reason. You leave a church by going to the elders. Regardless of what you think about those elders. Regardless of exactly what the church government or structure is. You want to be biblical, you see what's in Scripture. You're part of a local church. There's elders or some form of elders. You're going to leave that church. You go to them. You tell them you're leaving. And you tell them why you're leaving. And let them be the first in the church to hear it. Because they're the ones given the charge of caring for souls. And they will answer to the chief shepherd for that. It's really that simple. That straightforward. Now, what about if you're talking to someone and they say they are leaving your church or another local church? Based upon what we just read in the Scripture, the question is, have you told the elders that you're leaving and why you are leaving? Now, here's where your options come in. There's no option there. Someone tells you they're leaving a local church, whether it's yours or a different one, and you want to love them and you want to guide them and encourage them in being biblical. That's the question you ask them. Now, the next part, there's some options here. If they say no, okay, this is easy. They say, no, I haven't. Say, you should go do that. They have to give account for your souls to the chief shepherd. So tell them. Let them know. And they may or may not come up with excuses or whatever, but encourage them in that direction. So if they say no, that's actually pretty easy. Direct them to go and do that. If they say yes, they have, now you really have choices. You can leave it at that. Oh, good. I'm glad you talked with the elders, that you told them you are leaving and why you're leaving. You can leave it at that. You really can. You can have a clear conscience. If you leave it at that, and you know who the elders are, because it's your church or another church or something, you might want to go and check in with them and say, do you know that so-and-so is leaving? Because they told me they're leaving the church, and they told me that they talked to you about it. And I'm just following up on that. And I'll get back to why you would do that in a minute. Now, the other option also, if they say yes, they talk to the elders and they told them why, you may ask, so why? You can do that. Got to be careful what you do with what they say. You may not like their answer, or their answer may cause you to stumble. So you're getting into territory there that you may not want to go into, and you don't have to go into. But if you do, most definitely follow that up by going to the elders. So-and-so says they're leaving the church for this reason. They said they've told you that. Is this the case? It's really all quite simple, based upon what you see in terms of how the church is structured and who gives account for souls. Now, why would you follow back up with the elders? There's a couple of things that, well, two opposite things that sometimes we don't realize. First off, elders are always going to know things that everyone else doesn't know. Sometimes they're going to know things that you know that they don't even know you know. That's the way it works. The longer that I have been in leadership in a church, the slower I am to criticize anyone in leadership, political, whatever it may be. Because there is information you have and things that you can't make public and things that you're waiting on. And so elders are going to know things that other people don't know. But there are also times, maybe even in a small church, when there are things that you might find out before the elders. And you help them in serving Christ and shepherding His church if you communicate with them by saying, so-and-so said that they're leaving. I didn't ask why, but they said they've talked to you about that. Just wanted to let you know that. Is that the case? And they're going to say, yes, we have talked. You know, things are good or whatever, or no, not to my knowledge. Thank you. And then they're going to go, Lord willing, they're going to go pursue so-and-so. Or that you go to the elders and say, so-and-so says they're leaving, and this is what they said is the reason they're leaving. And the elder might go, it's not exactly what they said to us. Or yes, it is what they said to us, but you're just simply communicating with those. I know I keep beating this drum, but it's a biblical reality. You're communicating with those who have to answer for those souls. So you're helping the biblical process. You're helping, as we all are to be a part of the body of Christ, functioning to love one another and build one another up, to guard one another, encourage one another, exhort one another. It's really very simple, basic communication. I could have answered the question that I posed at the beginning in 2 minutes at the beginning of the night. Here's questions, here's whatever. But you need to see how they're tied to what's in Scripture, so that you can fall in line with what's in Scripture to help elders of whatever given local church, to guard yourself, to guard others, and function as a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, there's different gifts they're given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Do we speak the truth to one another and build one another up? Do we unity in Christ? That's the part we play. That's how it works. And when we understand that structure and how it works, I believe, and we'll find out if it's true in a minute, it makes it quite simple. You go, wait a second, okay, so-and-so's leaving the church. Elders are responsible. They give account. Oh, have you talked to me? You told me you're leaving and told them why. And then follow up by going to the elders after you have that knowledge. Mike and I have talked about this. We think it's pretty simple and straightforward. Maybe some of you are going preaching to the choir. I get that. But we thought it was worth going over and even having recorded. I haven't coughed once yet this evening. Praise the Lord. And now I want to open up to any questions on this topic, what I just said or related to it, that Mike and I might be able to answer here now. And I'll repeat the questions so it's on the recording also, if there are any. Kari. Sorry, Amy's friend. What's that? The elders would pursue so-and-so. If someone was to come to Mike and I and say, did you know that that Billy Bob is leaving the church? He said that he told you, or actually he said he didn't tell you, and so I'm letting you know. If that's news to the elders, to Mike and I, if that's news to us, we're going to go after Billy Bob and say, Billy Bob, what's up? You leaving? You like that name, Billy Bob, don't you? You guys like that? I thought it was a safe one. Anyone here named Billy Bob tonight? No? Okay, good. The elders, rightly, as shepherds, shepherding the flock, now you've got a sheep that's leaving, and this is news to the elders. The sheep didn't come and tell you, I'm leaving or we're leaving and this is why. They find that out. Mike and I are going to, one of us or both of us are going to go to that sheep, going to pursue them and say, heard that you're leaving. Is that true? What's going on? You know, how... No, not from Mike and I's perspective. There are a number of local churches. Oh, the question was what is meant by pursuit, pursuing the people. Yeah, it's not to keep them from leaving. Maybe that'll happen, but to initiate communication on this issue, so there can be clear, open dialogue with those who need to be talking. Right. Yeah, to find out what's going on and then see how they're going to deal with it. Yeah, now if we're back in Titus's and Paul's time, there is one church per town. So if you leave that church, there's a really big problem. But that's not our reality. There were no local, in most cases in the U.S., no local church is the only biblical church within relative distance from where people live. In some cases, it may be that way, but certainly not here in Santa Rosa. It's not to say you can't leave, but to find out what's going on. Yes. So, one kid from a family that's leaving a church tells another kid who's not leaving the church that their family's leaving. What does the child do? What do you think that child should do? Who do you think they should tell first? Yes. And then the parents should do what? Yeah, the child talks to mom and dad and says, Billy Bob Jr. told me that the Billy Bobs are leaving the church. And mom and dad go, oh, really? Huh. And they go talk to the elders. Or they say, yes, you know, actually, we know about that and the elders know about that. You know, there's a principle there that's very similar that you bring up with that question. What do kids do when they're in a situation? They go to mom and dad. We were on our camping trip. We were listening to the book Ribsy. Henry Huggins, and it drives me nuts because you listen to these stories and the adults are never involved. And he would be spared so much grief and trouble, and these books are nice. The reality is kids face real grief and trouble because there are no parents involved. So we're listening to these stories. I'm going, kids, what do you think you should do here? He should go talk to mom and dad. Yeah, there's a principle there. And it's the same principle in church. Not that elders are dads or moms and people are kids, yet elders are shepherds. the church is the flock. And so it's the same kind of principle at work there. That was a good question, though. What does your relationship look like for those who have left the church versus those who are in it? It all depends upon why they left. It all depends upon why they've left. And if they're related to you through marriage or family too, that there's so many issues related there that it depends. It all depends. Yeah, that gets to the issue of why someone's leaving. And there are a number of reasons why someone can leave a church with a clear conscience if they leave in a way that honors what's in Scripture. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So if I could boil your question down for repeating on the tape or the digital copy, what can be done? What's the view on possibly dealing with people leaving so that there's not a negative perception or stigma? It all depends upon why they're leaving and how they leave. So now, if they're a formal member, then, and Mike, you know, definitely correct me if I'm speaking on my own here. If they're a formal member, then membership will be told that someone is no longer a formal member here. And why? It may be a veiled why. It often looks like the elders are trying to protect themselves, but really we're often trying to let things not be known for other people. You know, even if Joe or Billy Bob is in blatant sin, but it's not known to people and things go a certain way, we may be hoping that Billy Bob will repent, and so we don't necessarily want to tell everyone. And how is that edifying or beneficial? Because of our context with multiple local churches and cars to travel far enough to even have more choices in local churches, it's really a sticky thing. But if someone is a formal member, and regardless of how they leave the church, they leave. Formal members are going to be told about that. If someone is a formal member or even not a formal member and they leave in a good way and they're going to something that they're going to another church for a reason and such that we truly can be behind, then I would think that we would communicate that to everyone in some way, shape, or form. We've done it once in the past, to my memory. Your sister. Clear communication. I want to go here. This is why. I've got relationships. I'm involved in stuff there. Okay. Told to the church, prayed for her, and said goodbye. But when people don't talk to you, or they give you one reason and give other people as they're leaving other reasons, it gets tricky. And even, let's take a real, and I'm not saying this can't be true for someone, but they just say, you know, just not sure this is where the Lord wants us, and so We're leaving, no harm, no foul, no bad feelings. Where you going, they don't know. Until they land somewhere and find out where they land, it's nebulous. So it's very difficult. It's very difficult to navigate that. And then when the announcements do come, the communication does come, when does it come? I would argue not for Sunday morning. The elders here, we try to keep announcements to a minimum on Sunday morning. Because we're not here on Sunday morning to meet about business and details and this and that, but to worship Christ. What we all need Sunday morning is what Isaiah's been preaching, and what I've been trying to bring out is that we need to look to the Lord alone, trust Him alone, eyes on Him, following Him. And so certain things could be distracting on Sunday morning instead of beneficial. So that's a hard one. And gets back to why did they leave? And yeah, it's difficult to know. I'm confessing it's difficult to know what to say to whom and to when and to how, and not have a church inadvertently then derailed by that kind of stuff. Lynn, did I see your hand? Wait, I'm sorry. Mike, did you want to chime in on that? Okay. Yeah, certainly. If we have, you've read it, it's pretty thick. We have a doctrinal statement. We have bylaws. We're very clear in not that none of those things will ever change, but what we believe and how we're going to function. And if someone says, you know, if I'm going to be in a church and there's membership, I want to be a member, but I can't here for these particular reasons, and yet we don't want to stay, we don't want to be a problem, okay. We're not saying you're, I'm just giving an example, not saying that you're not saved because you don't line up with everything here. Let's find you another local church. Very few. Yeah. There are a couple. There's a couple of churches that if someone ends up at, I'm... Lord's got it covered. There's a few that we would direct people towards. But it kind of depends upon why they're leaving. You know, if someone says, I want to baptize my baby. Will you baptize my baby? Mike and I would be like, no, we won't baptize your baby. We're not going to be a part of a baby baptism. You know, that's, you know, oh, we lie. Okay, well, let's find you a Reformed church, probably going to be Presbyterian, that we agree with everything on, basically, except for infant baptism. So we would find that. Yeah, that's a good question. This kind of addresses both of those questions. Let me say this, that Mike and I do not believe that if someone's in this local church and they leave it, forget it. There's no way that could ever possibly be God's will in a good way. Now, they may do it, and God will use it for good because He does, but this is it. I mean, it's either once you're here, this is it, or there's something wrong with you. We do not believe that at all. Not at all. Matter of fact, this is blasphemy to some people when I said it a number of years ago. We don't know that this church as a local church will even exist a few years from now. Where are those seven churches in Revelation? The church is still in Turkey, but it's not like those seven churches that got written to originally. The particular banner it's under in terms of the worldly banner, like Grace Church or Soma or First Baptist Windsor, these are men that I know who fellowship with freely and would consider people going there. Those are good options. Of course, Ben down at Roanert Park at Calvary. And then there's Shiloh or Foothills, another brother I've been getting to know who is pastoring a little church over there, back up behind the Costco area. It's maybe we won't be here under the banner of the worldly banner of Grace Church, but the church will still be existing in Santa Rosa, maybe small, whatever. We don't have a corner on the market. And I think some people assume that, and they feel a stigma when they leave. And then they leave without good communication or communication at all, and it only worsens it. But no, we could definitely help people find a different local church, and we're not the only game in town. I don't like to use the word game, but it's a saying. You understand what I mean. Yes. If somebody leaves and no one knows about it, well, depending on the size of the church, that may be possible. The church is big enough that when you come on Sunday morning to gather for worship, you often aren't even sitting near the same people. That might happen. And there's a reality. There's two sides to the coin of elders shepherding. Is the sheep have to want to be shepherded. One of the elders down at, Grace Church, Sun Valley, where MacArthur is, I went on one of the seminars I went to. The elders were asking questions, and they were being asked about shepherding, because it's a huge church. Well, they divide and conquer, so to speak. They break them down into smaller sections, but you're still talking like 100 people, whatever. And the one elder said, let's face it, it doesn't matter the size of the church. If someone wants to be shepherded, they're going to be shepherded. If they don't want to be shepherded, you can't shepherd them. So if someone leaves a church and no one knows about it, there might be some nothing you can do about it. It might be something you could have done about it. You just don't know. You pray for them. Of course, you wouldn't know about it if no one knew about it, so I guess you couldn't pray for them. It's a trick question, isn't it? Right. Right. Now, we would seek them out for discussion, for communication, face-to-face discussion, find out what's going on. Yeah, seek clarity. Yeah, seeking them for communication, direct communication between the parties that need to be talking. That's what I would mean by that word, and we'll use that word again. Absolutely. Yeah. Ideally, if someone's thinking about leaving, they would be in discussion with that with the elders. Ideally. But I'm talking about the scenario where you just find out they're leaving. Then how do you deal with that? It's they're leaving, not... So let's Yeah, ideally, of course, yes. So, and now let's say. Yes. Right. So the issue at the beginning, sort of the topic was, someone says they're leaving, how do you interact with them, what do you say? Well, what about if someone gives you an indication they're thinking about leaving? Encourage them to go talk to the elders with what they're thinking. Preemptive. Yeah, to deal with it, and they may still end up leaving. But then there's an opportunity for greater clarity to go through the process together. Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes people aren't telling the elders because there is some kind of breakdown there. But also, the principles that I've laid out here and the process I'm laying out flies in the face of what the American church has, to a large degree, put out there as what the church is. The American church has I remember having this conversation with neighbors of ours at one point. They wanted me to do their wedding, and we were having this conversation and started about the church. And I explained to him what the church was, and he says, "Wow, I've never heard that. I always thought of the church as like this corporation or this commercial entity." It's not what the church is. The church is the people. It's my little soapbox, right? I call this place a chapel. Maybe that's not the best word either, but I won't call this building the church. Though American language uses that phrase that way. Biblically, the church is the people. The church is personal. When you leave a local church, you're leaving people. But when I say we, I mean people in the pews, people in leadership. We've turned the church into an organizational entity that inadvertently teaches people to leave it like you would leave your gym membership or whatever else you have, your Costco membership. You just stop going or stop paying, stop patronizing. That's all. You're taking your business elsewhere. That's a big problem in the American church. And so what I'm saying here tonight is flies in the face of that inadvertent teaching that's been going on for so long now, that this would be, some people may leave. And this is applicable to people you know in the area who are believers in other churches. I'm not just up here solely because of Grace Church, but to build up those who are in Grace Church, to build up the body of Christ universally as well. You may have friends who are believers in other churches. They're leaving and they think they're just going to leave. And you question them this way. Have in mind that they're thinking, you're nuts. Because why would I go talk to those people about leaving the church? Because the church is not people, by and large, anymore in America. The church is an organization with structure and programs and a budget and bureaucracy. That's not biblical. Yes, you have a budget. You have programs. You may have structure and bylaws. But the church is people, which makes it personal. So you talk to people, and specifically when it comes to leading your church, elders. But we don't realize that to a large degree. And leadership, elders, are going to answer for that. They're going to answer to the chief shepherd as to why they've made the church a building and the people members of a structural organization that's almost like a commercial business. But every culture, every time period, the church is always going to have blind spots and flaws. We're not perfect. None of us have arrived. We're works in progress. That's one of the things, if you realize that, that may help you with insight into why this would be baffling to people as you're talking with them. And lead them further in biblical truth. The church is people. So if you're leaving such and such church, you're leaving those people who gather together locally and the elders that are there. That's who you're leaving. It's not like going from 24-hour fitness to anytime fitness. What does it matter? Yeah, there's people in both places, but it's an entity, a corporation. So we've done that in the American church. It's been part of the trend. And so that confuses this whole thing. What I'm saying here tonight flies in the face of that. Right. If someone left well, they could show up anytime. If someone didn't leave well and they just show up without talking to the elders, it's probably going to cause some dissonance that's going to affect the fellowship. And then absolutely, though, if someone, question repeated, for if someone leaves and they want to come back, can they, should they talk to the elders first? Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. Depending on the size of the church, for us, if someone was around for a while and then disappeared for a while and showed up again, if the showing up again was on good terms, I think that there would be an announcement as to, hey, Billy Bob's are back. Welcome them. Open arms, fellowship. But, you get larger churches and stuff. again, it's part of just a reality, and if you can leave and come again and not have it, but ideally, they would, on returning, they would go and talk to the elder and say, you know, we left, but we're back, and here's why. Right. For returning, yeah. And it's different because you're returning versus it being a new church to you. Why? Because there's people. The church is people. It's personal. There's relationships. You're going to recognize you. You're going to see them and go, you're going to be wondering what's going on. And so communication would be ideal. Starting with the elders would be ideal. Yes. Liz was next. Yes. Yes, we would go talk. If someone leaves, regardless of whether it goes well or not, we would follow up with leadership in that church where they say they've ended up at, or we hear they've ended up at. Love them. And love the other local church. Because if they're not leaving well, they're just bringing their issues with them. Because no matter what church you find yourself in, the elders and the people are going to have flaws, issues. They're going to need to grow. And so you're just changing one group of sinners for another. They may be saved sinners and in the process of sanctification, and sin no longer has an ultimate hold on them, but they're still in the flesh wrestling. So we'd be loving the other church as well by talking to them. So, you know, you've got the Billy Bob's there, and they left here. They didn't leave well. Let them know that you know that, and ask them if you could talk to us about it. That's how we would deal with it, to be shrewd. We wouldn't just start telling them why the Billy Bob's left. We would get them to let the Billy Bob's know that they've been contacted by the previous church leadership. May we talk to those previous and get their permission or not? And that's either going to scare the Billy Bob's away from that church or whatever. But yeah, we fall through. And if they left on good terms, we're just going to keep loving them in terms of following through with where we're going and let leadership know that. Ideally, leadership would contact us from that church. So we've got the Smiths, for a new phrase. You want me to say Billy Bob's again, don't you? We've got the Billy Bob's. They say they're from your church. How is this okay? Did they leave well? Ideally, they would contact, and we would do that here. People come from another local church. We would say, hey, we've done it. And we tell people that ahead of time. Someone who's not here tonight, the fireman, I won't name them because I'm on recording. One example. Followed up, spoke with the pastor, said he talked to you, and is this the reasons, and everything, yeah, everything followed, okay, good, yeah, it's love. Not pursuit, we want to keep them here and give them a blackball them in town so they can't go anywhere, no, it's to love them, and love the other local church. Good question. Corrine, did you have? Oh. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, so even if someone doesn't leave well, they can still come back. And even if they're ignorant of all this that we're talking about tonight, and they just kind of leave, drop off the face of the earth, and they come back someday, they show up one Sunday morning, one of the elders is not going to pursue them, but is going to seek them for conversation to say, hey, you disappeared for a while. Now you're back. What's up? Well, you know, this is where you. Okay, conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. What I'm saying tonight will not only be maybe weird to some people, it may be seen as controlling or cultish. That's exactly right. It may seem that way to them. We're not, though, trying to control people. We're trying to love people. We're elders are called a shepherd, and they will give account for those souls. There's a story that I think Spurgeon tells of someone else, a young man who was talking to a seasoned preacher, pastor, and he's down, and the old man asks him, "Why are you down?" He says, "Oh, my church is only so big." And he basically tells him, "When you stand before the chief shepherd, you'll have thought that it was big enough." Elders give account. We're not trying to control people or keep them here. Some people actually misunderstand this the other way, that we don't care if people leave, or we want people. We don't care if people stay. No, we don't believe we're the only biblical church in town. We're not trying to keep people here, or keep people from leaving, or make people come here. We're not trying to be controlling or cultic, cult-like. We're trying to love sheep for the sake of the chief shepherd. And that's what biblical love is. Not having ourselves in view, but them. I don't believe Christ's church needs any one of the local churches in this area, including Grace Church. And none of the local churches, including Grace Church, needs any one of the people that are here. You don't need me. You don't need Mike. We don't need any one of you. The church doesn't rise or fall upon any one person. Christ's church doesn't rise or fall upon any one local church. So the goal is Christ's will for his people, not our will. We don't want certain people to leave, or maybe you want people to leave, or whatever. It's not about that. What is Christ's will? I remember talking to someone a number of years ago. They were hurt that someone left, and someone didn't leave for good reasons. So, you know, if they're a believer, they belong to Christ. And our goal for them is to draw near to Christ. And Lord willing, it'll happen at that church. And if it does, they'll grow in Christ. And then you will have fellowship with them, even though they'll be at a different local church. And that's the goal. Is the other person's fellowship with Christ. It may include you in the picture, me in the picture. It may not. That's the goal. They're his sheep, not ours. The sheep of any local church doesn't belong to the members, nor does it belong to the elders. They're Christ's sheep. And that goal needs to be kept in mind. A little bit like what John the Baptist says, he must become greater and I must become less. The church is not about any one local church or any one person in a local church. Though we've messed that up a bit, too, in the American culture, and churches rise and fall upon one personality. But that's not the way it is. So, yes, it may seem controlling or whatever, but our endeavor here at Grace Church is to love people. And since we're given the charge of being accountable for their souls and shepherding them, then we want to do that so as far as it is up to us, we can have peace before them and peace before the Lord, clear conscience. Yes, hand. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and it gets back to, just like that gets back to, and what Mike was saying gets back to, where is our focus? If it's on Christ and what glorifies Him, then when someone tells me or asks me about something in my life and they think that maybe I'm off, if my eyes are on Christ and glorifying Him, that's not offensive to me. That's good news to me. Kind of like if you come over to my house and I'm working on something and you see something that needs to be dealt with or fixed, that's not going to be offensive to me. That's going to be good news. That's helpful because of the goal I'm after. And so if our goal is the glory of Christ, then we're out of the picture. Okay? It's not about us. Not even when someone's talking to us about us. Ultimately, it's about Christ. It's, oh, thank you. Let me look into that because we're concerned about Christ. We can't take it personally. If we're taking it personally, then we need to back up, because then the issue is that our eyes are on us, our concern is for us, our goal is our glory. So it's that weird thing that it's personal because we're people and we're interpersonal, but it's not personal because it's not about us. And that's where it gets back to leaving the church and stuff. We take it personally. Someone leaves, we feel like they're leaving us, and on one hand, they are. The relationship is going to change, even if it's simply because of logistics. They're leaving for good reasons to another good church. The reality is, if you're going to be plugged in your church and a part of your body, and they're going to be part of their body, you're going to have less time for each other. So the relationship's going to change. But it's not personal in the sense that it's about you or me. It's about Christ. And that needs to be our concern. And that takes us out of the situation, and it depersonalizes it in the right way for us, so that our focus is on Christ, and then we can respond in a biblical, edifying, encouraging way. Yeah, you're exactly right. Someone asking where you were last week, or how come you say these things or do this thing? I'm wondering about that. Question, those are good things. If our goal is Christ-likeness, individually and as a church, our goal for others is Christ-likeness. Yeah. All right, it's later than I thought it would be. I'm going to go ahead and close now, but if you have any questions, you can feel free to ask Mike. Any other questions, feel free to ask Mike or I tonight or when they come up. Just wanted to set some of the principles and groundwork here for this issue that is not directly addressed in Scripture, but is there. Well, allow me to close in prayer. Lord, you have said that you would build your church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And yet the churches locally that we read about in Scripture aren't exactly there anymore. But your church is still there. Your church is bigger than any one person or any one local church. And your church is about you. You have cleansed a people for yourself, for your glory, to their great blessing, but for your glory. Keep us mindful of that, that it's your church, your people, and it's about you. And give us insight and compassion, wisdom, patience, gentleness, and grace to communicate with one another, regardless of the topic, regardless of the issue, but particularly with the issue of leaving churches that has become so easy in our culture. Lead us and guard us and guide us in that you would be honored, that your people, wherever they may gather to worship you, would be built up and edified, that the face of the earth would be filled with fruit. The knowledge of you would increase. You would grow worshipers and draw more worshipers to yourself. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Is there a closing song, Calendar?